your dismissal suspended 5%, written and final, the written warning is 42%, then your verbal warning 16%, then your fines, suspensions and cancelling at 20%. The following slide is the key highlights in relation to the core business. Also, investigation continues with regards to the criminal. The recommendations that are sent to the DPA, because the previous one, it was the departmental one, there has been a decline of 3% in the number of recommendations that were forwarded or referred, and we have included the numbers and the percentage there, but however, the directorate is happy to report an 84% increase in the number of cases that the NPA have decided to prosecute on, and we have provided the numbers there and the percentages. Although there has been a slight decrease in the number of court cases placed on the court roll by 14%, there has been an increase of 39% in the number of criminal convictions secured for the period under review compared to 58 that were secured in the previous financial year and 17 in 2014-15. And the graph there shows the criminal recommendations that were sent to the NPA, and next to it is with regards to the convictions, that it was 97 out of 957 for the period under review. And the 10th slide is the graphical illustrations of the criminal recommendations performance there, the outcome of criminal recommendations to NPA, the decline, it was 118, prosecute 84, then awaiting responses 7. Also to that is the huge number, and we are also engaging our stakeholder on a monthly basis and quarterly basis with regards to all these particular matters. Unfortunately, leaving the sitting quarterly of the consultative forum, these presentations, this information is presented there, and immediately after the meeting, we take it up with the principals from both subs, the acting national commissioner, as well as the national DPP. Number of cases on the court roll, we have 814 on the next slide. Then the table illustrates of IPAD's performance with regards to the criminal recommendations, the outcome of those particular criminal recommendations. We've got the numbers there, the decline, it's 118 for the period under review, prosecute 84. In actual fact, this particular number is the one that is included in the graphs previously. And your criminal convictions there, you had secured is 97, and the court roll matters, we have 814 matters that are on the court roll. Then we try to summarize and zoom into the heaviest charges or sentences that were given to the subs members involved. You have your total years in the murder case, which is a death as a result of police action, 65 years imprisonment, it was one member. Then the murder, 38 years, which was one member. Then the rape, 33 years. And you have your two rapes, where we have secured two life sentences, and it was for three members, and your rape, 22 years and 6 months, and your murder, 20 years, one member, and 20 years again for one member. When you combine them there, you combine that, the total there is two life sentences, 1 month, 8 years, and 6 months. I will hand over Chairperson with your permissions to the CFO to deal with the annual financial statement for the IPIT. Then from there, we'll hand over to the program managers to deal with the rest of the presentations. Thanks very much.
Please continue to move the presentation. Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Petro Sisseri, statement performance, which was audited by the Office of the Auditor General. The first slide on the presentation talks to the basis of the preparation for an audit financial statement, which was done in line with the modified test standard as prescribed by National Treasury as well as the PFMA. The audit financial statement presented fairly in all material respects the financial performance of the APID at the 31st of March 2016. In terms of the liability as reported by the 18 BD, the Department of Training and Qualified Opinion. In terms of the key component of the financial statement, there is the appropriation statement. Reference can be made to page 158 of the annual report. Financial statement, statement of financial performance. Reference can be made to page 186. Statement of financial position. Reference 187 of the annual report. Cash flow statement, 188 of annual report. Supporting notes, disclosure notes, as well as an annexure, 194 page of annual report. In terms of the spending portion for the financial year under review, I must say that the spending trend is pretty much the same for two consecutive financial years. For program one, we spent as an organization 99.5%, while in the previous financial year 14-15 it was 99.9%. For program two, and the spending in program one was mainly on support services functions as well as the requirement activities such as labor patient methods, internal audit, monitoring compliance, as well as auxiliary services. As far as program two is concerned, the organization spends 99.9% as compared to the 100% in 14-15, mainly on compensation of employees for investigator salary, including the overtime work during the abnormal hours when the investigators are attending crime scenes. The bulk of the spending under prison services is on travel and accommodation as well as the skill development for investigators. That's where the bulk of the expenditure was reported. Program 3, legal services. The department used 99.5% of its allocation in 15-16 as opposed to 61% in 14-15. The bulk of the expenditure in this program was mainly on the legal costs invoices, particularly those that were outstanding from previous financial year, whereas in 15-16, the spending was mainly on the travel and accommodation due to the consultations that were conducted by legal services officials to various provincial offices. Program 4, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management. The spending was 99.2% compared to 95.8% of the previous financial year, which is 14-15. The spending part of this program is mainly on a facilitation of the stakeholder engagement and community outreach in order to inform the public members on what the directory stands for. The next page is focusing on key disclosure areas, which were also disclosed in our annual financial statement. The first part talks to environment. The organization applied and received approval for an amount of 2.3 million, which was shifted from compensation of employees to assist the cost pressures that were reported in program two, investigation and information management, as well as program three, legal services, mainly on travel and accommodation for investigators, as well as personal costs in program three. The amount, the identified amount was moved from program one, as well as program four, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, due to the vacancies that were identified by the end of the financial year, mainly as a result of the delay caused by the vetting process. However, that has been addressed since we are now doing it internally. Continuing with key disclosure areas, the rollover, the department did not apply for any rollover since the budget was 100% spent. Unauthorized expenditure, there was no unauthorized expenditure incurred even for the three previous financial year. The amount reported of 891 in our financial statements. Honorable members will report, will remember that even last financial year we spoke about the same amount, which was incurred in financial years 5 and 6, as well as 8 and 9. However, we've been in constant communication with National Treasury to assist us with clearing the amount through the SCOPA requirements. With regard to irregular expenditure, the department reported upfront an amount of $2 million to the AG during the audit, mainly due to the appointment of two legal firms, which were done without the supply chain processes. And those two cases are currently under investigation. And once they are finalized, the outcome of the disciplinary will then take place. Continuing with the key disclosure areas under footless and wasteful expenditure, again, the amount of 2,400 was also reported upfront by the department in the financial statement due to the various invoices that were paid late to Standard Bank for fleet management and maintenance. The reasons that were provided during the criminal investigation was based on the limited funding that was made to this particular item, and most of the invoices were delayed. And the amount was also disclosed with the supporting documents to the AG for audit. The next slide talks to key auditors' general observations. In terms of the reliability of reported performance information, the AG did not identify any material on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information. In terms of the financial statements, as E.D. alluded to earlier, there were no significant material. We did not amend the financial statements that were submitted by the 31st of May to AG. This was due to hard work and cooperation, which was confirmed by AG from the finance team as well as the management in general, and the continuous engagement with the auditors, as well as the implementation of the internal audit plan recommendations assisted the department to improve. Continuing with the observation of the AG, the department acknowledged areas that need improvement, which AG also strongly raised in the audit report. There are three key issues that have been outlined in the report. The first one is adjustment of material misstatements on the performance, which was subsequently corrected before the audit concluded. The expenditure management, the day-to-day payment, there's a problem that was encountered and measures have been put in place. Consequence management, disciplinary steps that were not taken on cases, mainly old cases, but the department has been put systems in place to deal with those. So these are the areas that the department should now focus on in order to make sure that come the current financial year audit, they are addressed. In terms of the reliability of the reported performance information, the AG did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and the reliability of the reported financial information. That's the last slide from Chairperson. My side. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable members. I'll present Program 1 Administration. The key highlights for Program 1 for Pilot under review, with the 99.5% spending, the program achieved 66% of its performance targets during the period. And given that the vacancy rate must be below the 10% threshold, the directorate vacancy rate at the end of the financial year was 9.4%, compared to 18% that was recorded during the financial year 2014-15. So this was actually an improvement in the period. Although also there has been a progress, slow progress in appointing female members on the senior management level at the end of the financial year. The performance there reported is 47% of females at senior management against the 45% that was reported the year before. in terms of representativity, the directorate employed 2% of males and hasn't sent 48% of females at the end of the financial year. Also, the improvement in coordination and monitoring of the implementation of functions such as audit findings by the Auditor General resulted in a positive audit opinion, and also assisted us to ensure that there's a reduction in the repeat findings by the Auditor General as well. Improvements in the functioning of the SHAVI requirements that's supported by the Executive Director, that the audit committees effectively now functioning rather than before, and there are other committees that are also functioning like risk committee member, risk committee as well as other functional committees within the department. In as far as performance information is concerned against the targets, number of financial expenditure reports admitted that the target was achieved, the target of 12 reports was achieved. Numbers of asset verifications was 4, the target was achieved. Percentage of vacancy rate was 99%, which was below the 10%, the target was achieved. Percentage of females employed at senior management level, the target was not achieved since it's below the 50% threshold. We are working in ensuring that we are meeting, we'll meet the targets. Percentage of staff complements consisting of people with disabilities, we achieved 1.6%, which is below 10%. We are working towards ensuring that we are actually will meet the target as well. Percentage of trained officials, we only achieved 35%, which was the target was not achieved. The number of candidates enrolled on learnership programs was 12, which target we achieved, reduced. Of organization structure was achieved, and number of monitoring evaluation reports produced was achieved. Of the 9 targets that we planned for ourselves, 6 targets were met and 3 were not actually met. The strategy to overcome this underperformance endeavors has been made to ensure that female candidates in our management are actually the target is met. So we have put measures in place to ensure that we are going to meet the targets. Further, the targeted post CMR for people with disabilities, the directorate has identified certain positions to ensure that we are able to meet this particular target as well. And the directors also engaged with a number of institutions dealing with people with disabilities as well as the Department of Labor, because there's a database there to ensure that we're able to meet this target as well. While the training plan was not implemented late in during this particular period under review, certain prioritized training courses were implemented. However, in the current financial year, we have put measures in place to ensure that we are able to improve in terms of training of our staff. Lastly, the directorate implemented learnership programs for investigators in collaboration with SACITA, and also granted eligible staff with bursaries. We currently have about 30 staff members with bursaries so far. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Matsumea.
I'll be doing a presentation of one program, two investigations. One of our key highlights is the overall performance is above the respective levels, and this is mainly attributed to the interventions by implementation of the general strategy through the establishment of the bedrock task team that supported key provinces that were KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and Gauteng. Nevertheless, the training of investigators on the specialized investigative skills, as well as the investigative equipment, is still not sufficient and continues to hamper the business of IP. I can clearly say already for this financial year, we have already started with training of investigators in this specialized field. The program was has achieved 95% of its planned performance targets for the period under review. This is an improvement of the impact performance when compared to the 12.5% for the previous financial year. Continue with this key highlight. One performance of particular to note is the increase in the penalization of the same ready case from 56% for the 2014 and 48% when 2014-15. The department achieved 69% for the period under review. With regard to disciplinary recommendations referred to SAPS, a total of 1,297 recommendations were referred. That amounts to 22% increase compared to referrals in 2014, which was 1,484 for 2014 respectively. This has been an increase. There has been an increase in disciplinary convictions, in which 16%. Of such members were dismissed compared to 14% for the 2014 and 13% for 2014-15. On the performance information for the period under review, important to note is the percentage of petition ready investigation finalized, which at that stage was at 59%. The department as well on the cases that were allocated within 72 hours, we were at 92%, up by 2%. The rest of the indicators were achieved and some overachieved. For continuing the performance, all the indicators here were either achieved or overachieved. Thanks to the intervention that I just mentioned, that we did the backlog intervention for this previous financial year.
So how are you going to increase now the targets, I presume?
Now we will talk about the targets. Continuing with it, that the targets that also follow out have all been exceeded. We only failed to achieve one target from the 19. Which is this percentage of increase of disciplinary recommendations where disciplinary processes are initiated. This indicator reveals that it is actually not within our control, but it is now entirely the police management function. For this financial year, actually, we have decided to even remove it from our indicators as it is not within our control. Our strategy is to overcome areas of underperformance or just continue consistently with what we are doing. That will include inspection team that has been established to particularly look at the quality of information that we are sending through to SAPS and NPA, and also to see the levels of compliance with our own standard operating procedure. That inspection team is currently running, going from province to province. It is meant by directors that are experienced in investigations to do the inspection of the dockets. Further, IPIT, in collaboration with civilian secretariat for police services and the SAPS and MPS, will ensure that monthly and on quarterly recommendations meetings are convened on a regular basis. That is what is happening in province every month. They are meeting as well on a quarterly basis with this, our stakeholders. The Directorate has also agreed on terms of reference with civilian secretariat for the police service to, among others, monitor the compliance of Section 30 of IPIT Act by SAPS within the stipulated term frame. Already this terms of reference has been signed by our acting executive director and the acting secretariat of the Secretariat of the Police. So it is in place now for this argument that we are working on. I will hand over to Ms. Marianne Fiat to give you the information. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Como, Ms. Fiat, thank you.
Thank you very much. share. On the next slide, one can see, although the case intake increased by 2% in 2014-15 compared to 13-14, the directorate registered a decrease by 6% in the case intake compared to 14 and 15. The case intake by province is then on the next slide. Although the global figure demonstrates a decrease, particularly in the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Free State, Northern Cape, and Western Cape, the Western Cape continued to receive a high number of complaints, followed by the Gauteng province, KZN, Free State, and Eastern Cape. Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northwest received relatively fewer cases compared to the provinces mentioned above. However, their case intakes registered the highest increase, over 20% compared to the 14-15 intake. On the next slide, one can see the case intake by classification in terms of section 28 and 29. Assault cases contributed the majority of cases received by IPED since 13-14, followed by discharge of an official firearm, death as a result of police action, and death in police custody. In the next slide, one can then see the decision-ready cases, where one can also then indicate that in the year 2015, then some of the provinces, one can see that there's an increase in the decision-ready cases. On the next slide, one can then see a pie chart with regard to the criminal recommendations to the NPA, where my colleagues already then mentioned the different numbers of 1,470 cases in 2013, then 983 cases in 2014, and then 957 cases in 2015. In terms of the next slide, the outcome of the NPA cases, then one can see they decline to prosecute, and the NPA responses are weighted. Those are obviously the blue columns, and they are the most prevalent that one can see on the chart. On the next slide is again a pie chart on the number of the criminal convictions. In 13-14, it was 83, then followed by 58 in the year 14-15, and 97. So there's been an increase again from 14-15 to 15-16. On the court roll matters, are then on the next slide. Those cases then indicated that we've been steadily decreasing the number of the court roll cases. That will then be indicating that cases are actually being finalized in court, and then we're getting having our outcomes in the court roll. On the next slide then, one will see a table on the court roll matters by the classification of province. That will give one a little bit more information. One can then see then the terms of murder is in the highest number of what was 147 cases, and then those are more prevalent in the Eastern Cape. And then you can also followed by rape cases with a number of 64, also then prevalent in the Eastern Cape as well as in the Western Cape. On the next slide is the pie chart with regard to the disciplinary recommendations. My colleagues also mentioned before that we've been steadily increasing our number of recommendations forwarded to the SAPS, with 38% from the year 2013-14 to 14-15, and then with 22% increase from the year 2014-15 to 15-16. On the last slide, then, one can see the outcomes of the disciplinary recommendations referred to SAPS from the period 2013-16. Then we can see what was initiated, the number of disciplinary steps taken, disciplinary steps not or no steps taken, disciplinary steps taken, and then the awaiting responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Good day. In as far as the report for the year under review for legal services, I'm to report on the highlights for the year under review. The program was able to provide instant legal advice to investigators within the prescribed 24-hour period. And also, the legal service conducted workshops to improve the quality of investigations conducted. Of significant improvement was the processing of policing powers for investigators, for them to execute their duties. We have achieved 88% of application for policing powers that were granted during the year under review, compared to 57% during the year 2014-15. And we further deployed the intervention team to assist in improving the performance of the program during that year and the year under review. This has also resulted in improvements and achievement of some of the target indicators. The table 361 is an indication of the performance of the program. The first key area, percentage of contract service level agreement that to be finalized within 30 working days of request. Here, Chairperson, the target was 90%. The target was not achieved. The unit achieved 79%. Compared to 56% of 2014-15, and there was a shortfall of 11%. In respect of percentage of written legal opinions provided to the directorate within 21 working days of request, the target here is 90%. The unit achieved 80% compared to 62% that was achieved in 2014-15. Thus also, there was an underachievement of 10%. Thirdly, percentage of arbitration, civil and labor litigation matters that were attended. The target there was 100%. The unit achieved 100%. Percentage of oral legal advice provided to investigators within 24 hours. The target there was 90%. And also the actual achievement was 100%, and then the unit exceeded by 10%. And in respect of percentage of written legal advice provided also to the department, the target there was 90%. The actual achievement was 60%, and there was a shortfall of 30%. Chairperson, further, there was also an application for policing powers, which was the target. As I indicated earlier, that the planned target for 15-16 was 100%. The unit achieved 84%. There was a shortfall of 16%. And then the percentage of policies of the department reviewed for legal compliance within 21 working days. The target here is also 90%. The unit achieved 100%. And then exceeded by 10%. And further, the number of practice notes and directives that are written and circulated to the department, particularly investigators, the target was to write one per quarter, four per annum, and we achieved three, and there was a shortfall of one. And further, the promotion of access application for promotion in terms of the promotion of access to information act, PIA act, in the request process within 30 days. The target there is 100%. The unit achieved 54%, and there was a shortfall of 43%. There were a number of interventions conducted in respect on backlog cases. The backlog cases on provinces in program two investigations. The target was to do 9 interventions, and the unit achieved 9 and achieved that target. Lastly, the number of legal workshops conducted by the unit. It was a new indicator that the target was 12. The unit achieved 11 of those, and there was a shortfall of 1. Arising from this performance, Chairperson, we have identified areas where we can improve the performance of the unit going forward, and we've identified strategies to overcome these areas of performance. The department have decentralized the legal service support into provinces, and further during that year, there was a secondment of intervention team to legal service that will assist in alleviating the performance challenges. That team executed duties, and also the process of decentralization is already happening. And lastly, the program has also ensured adequate definition of performance indicators that have statutory requirements and their workflow process thereof. That is in as far, Chairperson, as the program 3 is concerned. Thank you.
In terms of program 4, the key highlights, the 99.2 actual spending was mainly on facilitation of the stakeholder engagement and community outreach events in order to inform the public members of what the director stands for and does and how to report alleged police misconduct. The program has achieved 88% of its performance targets, mainly on stakeholder engagement. However, more resources are required in order to captivate previous units, capacitate previous units within the program to provide support to the provincial offices on community awareness objectives. More awareness campaigns, including meetings with various community policing forums, were convened to intensify awareness about IPIT's mandate. Station lectures were also held as part of professionalizing the police services, and the positive impact and behavioral changes is evident in the reduction of cases reported to IPIT on rape, discharge of an official firearm, assault, torture, death in custody, and death as a result of police action. In terms of the performance indicators, the number of reports that were written in terms of the evaluation of the quality of the recommendations, as well as the responsiveness of the recommendations per year, there were 4 reports each, that's indicator 1 and 2, and they were both, the targets were both met in both the situations. The number of the community outreach events, the target was 216. We've met the target by 28, we've exceeded the target by 28. The number of media statements and public engagements undertaken annually, the target was 40. We made the target by 49, exceeding it by 9. The number of responses to media inquiries, this was the only target that we did not meet. The target was 150. We made it with 148. Only 2 were not met. The number of formal engagements on the national level held with 2 key stakeholders per year, the target was 12, we've met the target with 31, exceeding it by 19. The number of formal engagements conducted on provincial level with key stakeholders, the target was 108, the target was met with 111. The number of local community policing forum meetings was 54, and the target was achieved. The strategies to overcome the areas of underperformance is to the enhancing of the recording system in order to ensure that the directorate keeps proper records. This is specifically in terms of the target that we did not meet. And then the development of an integrated communication and stakeholder engagement strategy for a more focused communication and stakeholder management agenda. Thank you very much. Over to Edie.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I will deal with the closing remarks. The IPIT has performed above the expected level as compared to the previous financial years. However, there is still room for improvement. But all of these things was as a result of the committed, dedicated, hardworking and motivated staff members as well as management taking into consideration the circumstances that we were operating on as a department, including the stability within this particular department. We never thought that we would achieve what we have achieved as a department, giving that particular performance improvement mechanism or interventions will continuously be implemented to sustain above satisfactory levels, particularly with regards to the core business, which is investigations, capacitation of investigators, which remains the priority, despite the fact that 80 posts were frozen for this particular financial year for the department by Treasury. Efforts will continuously be intensified to reduce the audit findings and the internal environment of the directorate, and the efforts will continuously be intensified to increase awareness about its mandate while at the same time promote the professionalization of subs through the station lectures where we do the presentations, and the 30 posts frozen, which amounted to the reduction of 4 million of the IPIT's budget, and that particular staff complement was 418, then it has been reduced to 388, but of most important, lastly, the BRRR reports and recommendations, we have tried and strived to respond to all of them. I think the only one which was outstanding was in respect of the ICT, which we couldn't because of the budgetary constraints. Thanks very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Mr. Khamjani, your team. What we will do, we'll do the first round. Right for lunch, and we'll come back for the responses from the department and then the second round. So, yeah, thank you for the presentation. I went through the AG's report because that's our focus this year. We focus especially on what the AG is saying about the department. It's difficult to find something material in terms of the AG report. I think it's good that the financial statements is in terms of the presentation. In terms of the usefulness of performance information, it's a green. The reliability of performance information, it's a green. The compliance with legislation, I just want to get an indication, is the improvement there. And then, the leadership is also a green from the AG, but the first level of assurance is yellow. So it's some assurance, although the accounting officer is agreed. I just want to know from the accounting officer, there's a lot of active persons. Of course, there's other processes, possibly exhaustion, but what is your view in terms of addressing that yellow, the first level of assurance from the senior manager? Are you making it right? And then I was struck by the one slide from the CFT's presentation in terms of the decrease of registration of certain offences by SAPS. Now my question is, what is the reason for that? Is it maybe is the reporting levels lower? Is it means the cases are fewer, apart from those obligatory categories? I just want to get a sense of what would you say is the real reason for those is a real change in police behavior? Or what would you say is the reason?
Honorable Abbas.
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe let's thank the department for the job well done. And you know, everything is good, Chairperson is good. Yes, there are some areas that need some attention, but we really comment. Must have we really comment. My first question is on the spokesperson has been there for a while now. I think, what is the development? My second one is on this bed to civilian secretariat that you don't want to acknowledge. Tell us about it and tell us what you're going to do about it. My third one is tell us about your consequence management, which procedures were not fully documented for submission to the AG. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thank you for the presentation. In slide 21, we talk about the fruitless and waste coal expenditure. Please indicate why appropriate disciplinary steps have been taken against officials who made or committed fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You tell us about the recommendations. What are those recommendations? My second question, in slide 29. In slide 29, female employed by directorate at senior management, target not achieved. You said not to table to many candidates were identified. Will you please continue looking? We'll find them because I'm a woman. Yeah, and in slide 29, people with disabilities, target not achieved. In your advertisement, when you advertise, did you include the thing that says people with disabilities are welcome to apply? Number three, in flight 55, legal safety. You have 11 targets, of which 7 targets was not achieved. But I'm happy because your plan targets are high. There is a room for improvement. That is what you need to say. And I'm saying it too. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. And thanks to the team there. I think that it's quite good to compliment when the report is good. I must say that it's a good report. Of course, we agree with you that much more still must be done in it. Just on the follow-up on the just addition to the question about the slide that deals with irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful. On the irregular expenditure, you say there was a legal firm that was appointed there. But what I want to ask, what have you done since with the irregular expenditure? Have you followed the requirement in regularizing the irregularities? Second one is on the fruitless wasteful. Your footnote speaks about an investigation, that you are still investigating, internal investigation about the cause of that. But immediately, when you then say subsequently, it was written off. I was just curious to know what they're finding, the investigation, has it revealed anything? Or you fearful about what will come out of the investigation, so you take the first action of writing off before you know what actually happened, what was the cause of it. I'm just curious to know which action start and which one follow in respect to that. Then there's a target that you did not meet in terms of budget. 30 days, hours. Just want to find out what is the problem in meeting that? Is it got to do with the capacity, staff, internal? What is it that is a problem? Remember that's a provision that is important in terms of information. So for if you don't comply with it and don't meet the deadline? What is it that is the problem there? And the last one for me, Chair, I think the member was asked this question. When you were the Madina Majala now, Hani Saulum Chalo. When you have you borrow money from secretariat and then you end up not wanting to pay them. What is actually the hiccup on that issue? That's an independent body. Looking forward in terms of going forward. Surely you deal with the matter of police and you deal with the misconduct, all what they do. Because of the size of your department, you rely mostly to the capacity also internal research. Have you done any study in respect of full compliance with the Act? That if you were to comply with the Act as a breach of statute, what would it require, what is it that you need to be able to fully operate like you should be operated as an envisage for the Act in terms of independent, including less reliance on the steps as the body that you actually looking at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was the first thing I must comment. I put on Fazalis. Let's remember on Fazalis. Even though I have had what are the Fazalis for Fazalis for 15 days course or something. Yeah, on slide 5:37. There's an increase in disciplinary convictions of subs members, and there's an increase in disciplinary recommendations on slide number 7. I was just thinking to myself, well, if the situation is like that, are we to be happy if there are more people to be disciplined? We expect that to decrease, showing that there's a bit of discipline within the police. Because I don't think it's something to write home about yet if there's an increase in that area. And then on slide number 53, just for my information. Training of investigators on specialized investigative skills as well as the investigative equipment. Just for my knowledge, if we talk about investigative equipment, what are we talking about? Because I might be thinking about electric shock machines. On page 43 and 49, there's no good correlation between the two. If you check on 43, the highest number of cases is assault. But if you check on page 49, which talks about court role matters by classification and province, there's only a total of 4. Does that mean that
most of them don't go to court. They only go to departmental disciplinary measures or what exactly does that mean.
And then on page 6, a performance indicator, number of responses to media inquiries in this annual. Unless if I'm not reading it correctly, if it responds to what the media asks you as a department, then how do you put a flat target to that type of, how would you know? Or how many times are they going to send inquiries? And if you put a number there and there are no inquiries forthcoming, then it doesn't reflect the reality if you are going to say you underachieved. Unless if it's done in some other way that I don't understand. That would get an explanation on that. Thank you, Chair.
Martin, or Rupini?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll also echo the sentiments of my committee colleagues that IFED certainly does seem to be in better shape than they were when we started engaging with the departments at the start of this parliamentary term. I remember myself throwing words around like off to a shaky start and mired in systemic stagnation and hobbling along. But it seems the department has now gotten to a nice trot, at least, and hopefully we can see them start sprinting over the coming years with improving performance. And also just to appreciate the level of detail in the statistical reports and the annual reports that makes a very interesting analysis and breakdowns and correlations and disaggregation and all the stuff that my nerdy mind loves. So that's all very good. Just four questions from my side, Chair. Slide 6 and 51 in the presentation. Can I just get an explanation of what the term no disciplinary steps taken, as whether it means that the SAPs, that there's been no DC, basically a disciplinary committee or process initiated by the SAPs, or that that did happen, but there was a finding of no guilt by the SAPs, because I was trying to see, looking at the figures, what that might mean. And if you look at page 88 of the annual report, it doesn't, that figure of 109 for no disciplinary steps taken doesn't match what is reported as having been outcomes of not guilty in disciplinary matters. So does that suggest they aren't the same thing? So if there were 68 DC matters in which the SAP's own process came to a finding of not guilty, then what does no disciplinary steps taken, and it sounds to me like it's saying that the SAPs got the recommendation from the IPED and then nothing happened, which is a problem. So just the meaning of that, please. My second question is, I was looking at page 90 to 97 in the annual reports, a very good and detailed breakdown of all the cases where there were disciplinary convictions. But I'm seeing quite a bit of inconsistency in the sanctions that were meted out for the same categories and for some quite serious categories. I mean, there are murder findings that only came out with a written warning sanction. There's rape convictions that only have a fine of 500 rand torture, whereas for a sanction of a written warning, and that sort of thing. Now, I understand, obviously, that where there's also a criminal offence being alleged, there would have been a parallel referral to the NPA. So I understand that it's not saying that's all that happened. But I'm just my question from looking at this table is whether I could hand over their case to the SAPS. Do you also make a recommendation of a sanction for the case? So I can just get a sense of whether these inconsistencies are about the SAPS ignoring a sanction, a recommended sanction coming from IPUD, or has been left open-ended for each individual DC to come to their own conclusions. And if it is left open-ended, I'm just curious as to why that's the case. I would like to think that the IPUD would also recommend a sanction based on their finding. Yeah, especially because then you also have cases where the SAPS finds no guilt. And I'm not sure if that means that IPUD went back to SAPS saying, we've investigated, we find no evidence of guilt on the part of the officer, or do you make a finding of guilt and then SAPS looks and reverses that. Third question, in relation to slide 43, I see there were 60 cases in the intake in relation to non-compliance with section 29, which in my head I call a section 33 offence, because that's about the offence created in section 33. My question there, Chair, is to ask whether does the IPUD also take those section 33 offences to the NPA, because section 33 does create a criminal offence it says that a finding of anybody who's found to have been guilty of the offence is liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment not exceeding 2 years. So we're talking, section 33 offence is a criminal offence, which to my mind says it can also be taken to the NPA. Page 103 of the annual reports suggests that there haven't been any referrals of section 33 offences to the NPA because there's zero criminal convictions in relation to non-compliance with the IPUD Act, which I assume means section 33. So just to ask, have there been any section 33 offences taken to the NPA? And if not, why not? Because also a reply I got from the Minister last week asking about how many section 33 offences have been opened and what the sanctions were only came back with departmental convictions as sanctions and no mention of court convictions. And then I've been covered by Honourable Ramatakani on the issue of why there are delays with PIE applications. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Beda. Thank you, David. And then we go to break now for lunch, and we will be back in 25 minutes, and then I will allow Honourable Beda to ask that one. 25 minutes, thank you, David.
You must learn, Adam. options for being wrong.
So she's not with us anymore. Oh, I thought all the food was allowed. I thought all the food would be allowed.
I don't know, I just eat. I didn't eat a lot.
Food is good. I was also a little bit shy.
How are you?
Thank you.
attack of Gustav Gustav when it was
young. But
was the Yashin, but was the indicator for the whole
Okay. Yeah, there was another girl, she's due this morning.
Oh.
The secretarial.
Yes,
I'm doing eye study, yeah.
Why don't you apply in Parliament? You don't like?
Sure, I've applied 20 times.
Yeah. No, because I need to recruit for EMG. Most of our people are from EMG.
From EMG?
Yes.
And? Civil?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of that one.
From is it?
Department. Yeah.
Oh.
He was a computer officer also. Yeah. I think it's also coming from the EMG.
Number of
and because then we didn't have people for the committee with experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no member. So now it's now like MG must used to be on our website, but if you
ago and it was such
yeah.
a hit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then Parliament decided, no,
yeah, they
you cannot
they
copy. Even though the second party is going to copy
yeah, yeah.
your minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they started, then members used the trust of your minutes.
Mm.
And then they started recruiting from here.
Yeah.
So
now they don't recruit anymore.
So the problem, the problem now, I think we've got enough staff
yeah.
because people are not leaving anymore. They used
yeah.
to leave Parliament because of this.
Mm.
Because we went
but now
so
this
high.
Is good.
So now this is good.
Yeah.
People are like, but they you don't want to leave anymore. So they used to leave.
Oh.
Somebody, you see this one, the committee is like Parliament, it was a gate to the department.
Yeah.
So people will just come and leave for
see.
The department.
Yeah.
And the department now recruits from Parliament.
Mm.
We used to recruit from PMG, and then
departments
will recruit from Parliament. Not like that. But not anymore. Well, now the money is the same. Hi there. Hi, Isa. I don't know why she's afraid.
Hi, this is the one that I can't remember.
Which 2007.
When Parliament and the Department of Foreign Affairs
is it?
And we were very, very
sure.
It was terrible.
Come join the plate, if
I even thought maybe now we are going
to
close
that.
Yes. We're very, very,
wow. I didn't know about that. It was that before
many,
a shot was there?
Yeah?
Was that before a shot was there?
I think...
Was he there? No, he must have been there.
Yeah, no, before.
Before
he was there. Before Rashad was there.
Mm.
Yeah, before we were there. Because there was Peter.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think, there was Peter. There was... just before Peter, Peter man was there for a very long time. One of the
Ishmael.
People, no, Ishmael, he was just coming on
temporary
basis. Yeah, but Peter was the one who was, who left after the Russia to come back. There was Janet, I left, and Peter took over, and he started PMC. One of the few who started PMC. It's been 1996. So, after Peter left, Monani left and many
I don't think
left here. They joined Parliament. I was one of the few left behind.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
It was so sad. Not knowing maybe myself, I would end up here.
Yeah.
So, it takes time, but when
it takes time, I still have hope.
Mm. No, no, it will come. It will come. I worked there for 10 years.
Are you sure?
It's been 4 years.
Well, thank you very much,
Honorable Neighbors. Also, glad to see you. Thank you also to the Benin candidates for the much appreciated. Let us now continue with our proceedings. I think just before lunch, before we wanted to go to the response team, I think Honorable Mabija raised that. Honorable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. First thing I would like to say thank you to the High Court Management. Why I say thank you so much is because this High Court Management is an intensive care unit. Now, through the general rule, the medication
Thanks, Chairperson and our members, and we take note of the compliments from Chairperson and honorable members with regards to our performance for the previous financial year. We'll attempt to respond to the questions, some of them clarity seeking questions in respect of our presentation. I think in respect of the first one that deals with the issues of leadership, especially in acting positions, in two posts where there were dismissals of the chief directors for the period under review, I think the first one, we filled that particular post immediately after the senior manager was dismissed by transferring one provincial head from Mpumalanga to Limpopo, then advertising to Mpumalanga, and one then filled that particular post. And with regards to the latest one of August, for the program manager for head office investigations, we have advertised. I think the panel set and shortlisted, and they are holding interviews, if I'm not wrong, next week. And there are movements with regards to those particular matters. The matters where senior managers were on suspension or are on suspension, those particular matters, the disciplinary processes, in all of them, they have started, and they have also said where there was an appointment of the chairpersons, presiding officers, and the initiators for the department. So all of them, in all those particular matters, the disciplinary proceedings, they have started. They will be finalized in due course, depending on the availability of the chairpersons, the initiators, and the defense. And that also includes the post of the spokesperson, director of communications, and when that Rabulau is acting in that particular post, because previously, honorable members will remember that there was a precautionary transfer, but immediately or to a month or 2 months after they came back to head office, there was another matter which resulted in the precautionary suspension of the director of communications. But that particular matter also is on the process of being finalized departmentally. The matters with regards to the reasons for the decline by subs on IP matters, I think it was raised by the chairperson. I think Mayor here will and the top commander will respond to that. And with regards to the matters that were raised by, okay, we have responded with regards to one by Honorable Memolevati. The CSP borrowed amount by IP. We never borrowed any amount from the CSP as the department. What happened there is that the CSP went ahead and contracted the legal people through state attorneys on behalf of the department. IPIT is the department on its own. CSP is the department on its own. IPIT is on its own accounting officer. And CSP there for their own accountability. There is no way I will contract the services of the legal people on behalf of SAPS or on behalf of legal, on behalf of CSP. So the only thing, we had a meeting to deal with this particular matter with the minister. And after, subsequent to that, we had a meeting, the three of us, myself, the acting CS secretariat and the acting national commissioner, because it was the very same thing with regards to the severe dramatic matter, that even that we contracted on behalf of SAPS, and that particular matter was resolved by the three of us, and we also engaged Treasury that if we are going to go ahead and pay, it will be irregular expenditure for IP, because we never contracted to start with for that particular matter. But there was a proposal that the only way to go is whoever who contracted must pay that particular invoice and at a later stage claim it from the relevant department. That was the agreement between the three of us. And we are in the process of honoring that particular request from them. But I think what I was informed by the acting secretariat was that they had paid. So they just want IP to pay them that particular amount. We have also engaged Treasury with regards to making sure that they made funds available for that, because from our establishment budget, we are going to be not able to honor that particular request from the CSP. But if the Treasury is the arbiter in the matter, then they will make those particular funds available through IP to be able to honor that. In respect of the consequence management as per the AGSA finding, there are two matters there, and they are also raised in the audit committee letter in the annual report relating to these particular matters, because these two matters were deliberated at length during our audit committee meeting towards the finalization of the audit of the annual report. And the first matter with regards to consequence management as far as the wasteful, fruitless and expenditure is concerned was that SIP we have recovered the amount from the relevant people, but AGSA they were saying the recovery is not enough. You must recover and you must take departmental steps against those particular people. And hence we have established the committee that deals with regards to that. And those particular matters, they are not in actual fact under investigations, but we are in the process of just implementing the consequence management as far as that particular list is concerned. But it's been date from 2012 up until the previous financial year. And in respect of the other matter, that also deals with management failing to take departmental steps against one person, senior manager there. It was just the issue of disagreement in respect of the definition of the relevant prescripts. Because there were allegations, we gave a member those particular allegations to respond to the allegations together with the notice to suspend based on those particular allegations, because it was in actual fact related to fraud and all of those things. But after the member responded, we consider the response of that particular person, and based on that particular response, the allegations, it was not as serious as they were made at the initial stage, in the sense that the amount that was spoken of, it was 100-something thousand. But that's when he responded, and considering those other responses, it was only found that it was only 1,000 something matter in respect of the amount. But in actual fact, it was not the case that he didn't use the SMS car on that day. He used another car. Then he just ended up claiming with a different car. So after applying our mind, we ended up giving that particular person a final written warning, progressive discipline, and we are of the view that disciplinary steps, the process was followed. So the policy or the prescripts that leads to the disciplinary steps or process to be followed, not necessarily the disciplinary hearing, but each and every case is being treated on its own merit. I was even making an example that you can be charged with murder and tomorrow in court being found not guilty, and the other person can receive 20 years. So it depends on the evidence that is presented in front of a person then. And with regards to the slide 21, the fruitless wasteful expenditure, why? Okay, that one, I've just touched on that. The slide 29, with regards to the SMS female on the positions there, appointments, will definitely look for them, will even make efforts to make sure that we do look and find those particular female on SMS post and employ them. But to note that we have made significant progress compared to the previous financial years, in the sense that we are at, is it 47, that the maximum is? Yes, 47. But I've said to program one that in actual fact, it must be at least 50. We are not necessarily to say we are at 50, then it ends there. There's nothing stopping us from having 60 females and 40 male people on those particular posts. Same goes to the second one with regards to the people with disability. I think we have reinforced some of the posts in the departments and come up with a DG directive that each and every province, we must make an effort of appointing people with disability. And I think we have even returned some of the submissions where they were sent to myself and program one, where there were people who were not really shortlisted with disabled and not shortlisted but applied, and there were even the submissions where they were not even catered for. We have sent them back and say you go and look for people with disability in those particular posts. For instance, we even appointed one person for Eastern Cape office last week. She started last week Monday, and according to the provincial heads, everyone who was shortlisted there, it was all of them people with disabilities. So we are making some progress as the department as far as this particular targets are concerned. With regards to legal services, 11 out of 7, Dr. Holo will even possibly talk to this, but honorable members will remember that when we presented, was it our 6 months, it was our second quarter or third quarter presentation performance, there were problems with regards to legal services. And we were honest with the committee with regards to that particular program. And even not even wants to raise the issues related to capacity, because it's fully capacitated. The only issue is they were not working, and they were senior managers there, the chief director and the director, always on sick leave. Hence, we have even dismissed one with abscondment, one director there who was leaving the services with abscondment, because she was consistently on sick leave and she never even submitted the sick notes. And the chief director, there were interventions, Jefferson, after we have presented that to the committee that must do something as the department as far as the program is concerned. Hence, we came up with an intervention team headed by Ndate Motswadi, then supported by Ndate Leholo for the remainder quarter of the financial year. And they made strides with regards to coming in there, because I think out of all the targets that were there, 12 or 11 for the last quarter, they've attained almost all of them. It was just that it was late for the particular intervention, because it underperformed for the first three quarters and only performed on the last quarter as a result of the intervention. Hence, even today, Ndate Leholo is acting in that particular post at head office, and we have transferred the chief director of legal services to Northern Cape, the province, just to try and deal with that particular issue. The issue with regards to, okay, the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure for legal firm, I think that this study will even touch on that one, but the departmental investigation is underway. It's a very simple matter where, instead of going through state attorneys, they just went straight to the legal firm and contracted them, which is irregular. So even that one, we are taking departmental steps against that particular chief director legal services and the director legal services, but that's the one who has been dismissed due to abscondment. And in respect of investigations of fruitless and the writing off of those particular matters, the issue of the 30 days payment will identify that there is a financial misconduct as far as this particular matter is concerned, but we can't delay the payment of the legal firm, knowing very well that this particular person was responsible as far as this particular matter is concerned. So the submission will come, it will be recommended, I will approve and condone that particular matter for payments to go through, but I will also indicate that the matter must be investigated and the responsible person must be held accountable as far as that particular matter is concerned. So all those particular matters, we are doing the investigations and taking appropriate steps against the responsible people. The per-year targets, Ndate Leholo will respond to that. The study in respect of the full compliance with the Act, the question from Honorable Dr. Matlakane, I think we have in many documents and in all our strategic plans and our NPP make reference to the 535 establishment of the department. That particular study was conducted by DPSA before the establishment of ICT. That for this particular department to can deliver on its mandate, the staff complement for this department is 535. Till today, we are not even here that particular number. But on top of that, as the department, we went further and come up with a strategic expansion strategy, which was researched and costed, and indicated that it must be implementable for 3 consecutive years, and it was presented in all the forums, and we got buy-ins in all the forums, including our principals. But we are not leaving moving with regards to that particular strategy, because that particular strategy was going to address all our problems as the department, in the sense that we have footprints in all the district municipalities. If Free State has got 5 district municipalities, then we'll have 5 IP district offices in those particular areas, but we are still having 2 per province. 30 staff members on bazaaries. Those particular members, Honorable Tatemake, they are doing their degrees, national diplomas, honors, BTEC, postgraduate diplomas, and master's degrees. So we are not even giving them bazaaries to go and just attend the workshop. But they are doing those particular degrees, and they sign the contract, and they are making progress as far as those particular matters are concerned. Some of them, they have completed their LLPs, and some of them, they have completed their national diplomas in policy. And the issue with regards to the discipline increase, decrease, my assessment or my understanding with regards to if we are to say that IPED is making an impact as far as the behavior of the subs is concerned, is as and when we see the decrease in discipline. In actual fact, IPED is there to support subs in the transformation from force to the service. So, as and when there is a decrease, we just have to, it is an indication that IPED is winning its war against the conduct as far as the police are concerned. The slide 33 with regards to the training of investigators, the equipment that the Homo will respond to that.
Professor? Okay, for, is it not a contract? You're saying if you see an increase, then it means you are doing a good job. And I was saying there must be a decrease to show that there's an increase. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Managers, they will attempt to even respond with regards to that. I will come back to that one. On slide 43 and 49, the correlation with regards to the assault intake and the control matters there, that is a high number with regards to the assault intake, but there is a low number as far as the court matters relating to assaults are concerned. Most of our assault cases, they are common assaults, and most of them, and they are investigated, then we send them to the DPP, and you will find that there are closed tests unsubstantiated because there is no prima facie case against on those particular matters. As the quadrant matters, the number is low, and the intake, the number is high. Because sometimes you will find that it was just the issue where the police, they were just exercising minimum force, that the person has to go at the back of the bike, and she's refusing to go there, then they just pushed him there. Then he would end up opening a case against the police. I mean, in those particular ones, the conduct of the police is justifiable. So that's another issue. But one other issue is that in all our matters that we investigate as IPs, we made recommendations, whether positive or negative, to the DPP. So we don't close the matters at our offices like subs, attempted or withdrawn or dismissed. It must go to the DPP whether we have recommended that there is no case against the police, just for formality sake. The slide number 60 with regards to the responses to the media, it inspects the turnaround time. There will be an inquiry from media. We are receiving them on a daily basis. Our response time to that particular query, that's what we are being, that's what our target talks to, not necessarily the number of those media queries that we have received. We'll receive them, but how long does it take us to respond to those particular media queries? In respect of the, slide 6 and 51, no disciplinary steps taken by subs, and no duty there, and they will respond to that. Someone from us, Memorial or Manon, that will respond to that. Page 90 and 97 of our annual report, the murder and the torture, the warning and the written warning. These are the criminal matters that do. We also make recommendations for a sanction, or is it open-ended to staff with regards to the disciplinary hearing? We made recommendations not recommendations in respect of the sanction. We just indicate that the subs member, they have contravened these particular regulations. And we recommend that departmental step must be taken against that particular member. Same goes to subs. We made recommendations that there's a prima facie case against the subs member, so it's up to the courts to pronounce on the sanction as and when the matter has gone through the criminal processes or the court processes. But in respect of leaving the departmental, it's more or less the same, that will make recommendations to subs that there is a prima facie case against the member. They will appoint somebody to look at the particular recommendations of the matter, but come back to us and say they don't agree with regards to us, and if there is a need for us to look for those particular reasons. So there's nothing stopping us from getting those particular reasons from them as to why they differ with regards to our recommendation. Same goes to the DPP. Slide 43, 60 intake of section 33 matters. Non-compliance with section 29, yes, those are the matters. And cases taken to the NPA, yes, we are taken to the NPA after we have investigated those particular matters, then we recommend criminal charges against the subs member. They also sent the departmental recommendations to subs. But when you go to DPP, but when you go to the sentences or the finalization of the matters, there is nothing. That's the matter that you are still fighting with the DPPs in the provinces and national with regards to these particular matters. Since the inception of IPIC in 2012 up until today, we even requested to do the workshops and awareness to staff members in respect of the Act itself, and we are against that, but we ended up doing that. We did that in all the provinces. But what we told ourselves during Memanbeki and during the Tembe Pride and during my time is that we are not going to stop. investigating these parameters and opening these parameters against SAPS members as and when there's a non-compliance. Whether the DPPs they will act on those parameters or ignore them is their own problem. As long as from our side we know that comes tomorrow, as and when we are expected to account, as far as these parameters are concerned, we'll have that federal records. So those parameters are sent to them, but the majority of them, they just declined to prosecute them. And I think I'll pause there, then I'll hand over to...
The question relating to increasing disciplinary actions by SAPS on that number. For us, it's a positive, what is the past? We spent, let's say, 1,000 kids, 1,000 students, 1,000 kids with them. Only a few of them would be given action from that. So we are not happy with the increment in policy. But where police have acted with whatever number of kids are they prepared to them, so I think that means management is doing something. But this is and kind of conduct by the police. So that is good for us. So the other way around, we don't like to see many cases reported, but when those that are reported are being acted on, we are using it. There was also a question relating to reliance on police. It's somehow a difficult question to answer. We are easily relying on the police in many fronts. First of all the cases in this case of murder, rape, death as a result of, we end up taking it into the forensic cancer course, which is under provision. For the fingerprints, we take it into international criminal record center or local criminal record center in all the provinces that we did. That has really helped us that capacity and boost capacity. So that reliance, I don't know whether it will ever be removed, because we don't have anything to do with the whole system. Because I assume that we're relying on them, we're relying as well on Department of Health, opposing to. We don't have our own buttons to deal with that. In other front, we are trying really, as I've explained, that we're taking our visitors this year, this financial year already, to undergo specialized training. We are trying to sort of reduce in as much operational measures are concerned, reliance on the police. So we are trying bit by bit to have our people being taken through for cyber investigations, for instance, for procurement for investigation. We are trying to do that so that we can have our own capacity as IPA. But it's something that will take some time. It can't be a thing like tomorrow, it will take some time. So we are again trying our level best to get out of that line. But on other hand, I don't see us getting away from that because that's the only one that is part. Thank you.
Other responses?
Thanks, Chairperson. In respect of the questions relating to the legal services, the first one was on PIA. As the acting executive director indicated, 2015-16, the challenges that were there regarding to some of the, there was capacitated by Sakharovich, some of the directors there and the acting director. Some of those matters we should have been able to attend those matters within 30 days. However, due to absenteeism, the person who are dealing with those matters would not be picked up if there's nobody above them would have not picked up the matters that are not being attended. As a result, as they exceeded the period or they were picked up during our intervention as a task team after the 30 days expired. And hence those matters are picked up and attended. However, with the task team and as we move forward, the legal service is in a position to address those matters and to attend those matters within the prescribed period. And the Act also allows, if there's a complex matter, for example, and we can apply for extension of the 30 days, but generally, one with the capacity that we have, one will be able to deal with those matters within the prescribed periods. Secondly, Chairperson, I think the 7 out of 11 target also has been a result of that gap that was there, that made the efforts to bring in interventions to address those challenges. So those challenges are being addressed, and we're attending to those outstanding matters, and I believe that the picture will be different as we move forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, honourable members, with regard to the first question is, what is the reason, real reason for decline in the reported cases? Well, we believe that it was partly because we've done our station lectures. This was part of ensuring that, like the ED already indicated, where we educated the staff members or the subs members in terms of our act, how do we work, our recommendation process, the whole process basically, that whatever we have a challenge with in the department, we've explained that to the members. So part of that is then to ensure that we do take disciplinary steps or recommended steps against them, and then we'll monitor the process that is followed up after to make sure that we get feedback. So I think it's a dual role. It's not only that we made them aware of the process, but as well that we put some pressure on their management in terms of taking disciplinary steps against them and of effectively monitoring them during that process. So I think it's a dual role. That's why we think that there's a decline in the reported cases. Is that subs can see that we are taking it seriously and we've proven it throughout the year. In terms of the question with regard to slides 5 and 7, an increase in the recommendation and the increase in the disability outcome, it's like what Mr. Homo was saying. For us, we've been building up to this process. I believe that you remember in the beginning we struggled a lot with regard to our statistics and getting our statistics right and working well together with the police. So it was a process for us. So now during this process, we've really been building up steam and we've been really getting our processes in place. And now that we are functioning better, we've been able to increase our capacity in generating more and more recommendations leaving our office. But it's warranted. It's not like we are finding these cases. It's really that it's warranted, and we do proper investigations on these cases. That's why we have these. And the increase in the outcome is just like you were saying previously, is because they are investigating it. We are effectively monitoring the police in terms of investigating these cases and ensuring that we get feedback from them. And that's why there's an increase in terms of the outcomes as well. We see this as positive for now, but we expect it to reach a plateau at one stage and then a decrease as we continue our work throughout. In terms of slides 6 and 51, noticeably the process started by sub. Yes, that is exactly what it means. We do not leave these cases as it is. We engage with sub. Now, if sub believe that the recommendation that we've made, they do not agree with our recommendation, the process that they should follow is to indicate in writing to us that they are not in agreement with us in terms of our recommendation, state the reason, and then revert that back to us. We will then relook at our recommendation. If we need to recall our recommendation, then we will do so based on maybe evidence that they have recovered that we didn't have in terms of our initial investigation. But if we do not agree with them, then they should go forward and implement our recommendation. But that's the process between us. That's why you'll even see in our annual report, it's under unresolved matters. We don't regard it as a resolved case just because they indicated that they're not going to take the three steps. We don't regard it as resolved. Thank you.
I forgot to answer the question asked by one of the market on utility equipment. They are referring to sensor camera and the ability to use every single crime. The blue light for the hacker as far as you can see, and the recording to the interface and so forth. So we do have a little bit of that, we don't have it now, but with the accumulated budget that we need to show you here, so much every investigation is saving and equipment that is more secure. But as of now, that was that the moment.
Thank you.
issue of systemic corruption and investigation in SAPS. Now we've seen, well, yesterday, DPCI indicated their projects. We've seen in the Western Cape this operation Elephant, where they also nabbed members at station level. I just want to know, and I think it's also about doing with international human, so, but is there measures underway? There was recently a very interesting report on News 24 about the station in Johannesburg, and where a journalist for a year or so monitored the movements of members of visible police and how they were involved in drug, you know, facilitating drug selling and so on. So I just want to get a sense, is there any moves put to deal with that? Then, with relation to Mr. Pierre's response, I just want to know, even the more serious issues of the recommendations, I just want to know, in terms of the forum, the issue of rights itself still continues. I mean, the broken West case, they, you know, like these officers, it's still ongoing. But those areas where there is indeed downturn and there's movement, are you looking maybe at bringing out a more substantive report on the reasons for improving police conduct? You know, that it's also measurable. Because the question is long term wise, you must have an effect on the police actions. We've seen the with the increase in civil claims against that. There's usually, of course, it's a wanted shift from the RAF claims now to police claims due to the loopholes that's been addressed in the RAF divide. But there's now movement to health claims and medical malpractice sections. So there is a major increase in civil claims against police now. It relates against conduct. So I just want to get a sense, looking more long-term at it, also going to make more substantial recommendations that SAPS can address. I'm more about it.
Thank you, Chairperson. In your performance agreement by SMS members, you had two SMS members who did not comply. What has happened to these two? My next one is, seeing that your investigators do attend the crime scene, do you have referrals for trauma and depression? My last one, the police who were fingered in the Falun Commission, have you finished attending to the crime check?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got only one question. In slide 39, you said further IPC collaboration with CSP and staff MPs to ensure that monthly or quarterly decision meetings are contained for the rest of it. These meetings, thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe on that last question also, again, the issue of the level of payments from the SAP side, is it still a problem in the provinces in terms of rank, the national level? They sent the, I'm not saying they're saying sending the sergeant, but the rest of that associate level. Honorable Bija, are you covered? Honorable Buddha? Honorable Marke?
Thank you, Chairperson. On the question that I asked earlier on, I think then the indicator must be changed, because it actually says number of responses to media inquiries is 9. It doesn't say anything in terms of the way it was explained. So I think it must be added in the current moment also. Another question on page 89 of the annual report. I'm just interested in the Northern Cape. In terms of population, I think might be the smallest. But in terms of the total disciplinary conviction, it comes second to
specific reason why this should be that really high. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the responses. This whole part is quite clear. One follow-up from the responses was to ask, so in terms of those cases where the SAPS does not take the necessary steps after the ICANN sent their recommendations, can I just ask, is there any particular province or any particular category of offences that is problematic in this particular regard? And if the answer is in the report, please just put it to the page. I can't seem to have been able to find it yet. But I just want to see if there's any particular flavour or character to this stonewalling by the SAPS in following through, because that in itself is a violation of Section 30. I could have this quite clear that within 30 days, SAPS must initiate those disciplinary proceedings. And then my second question is just to get some detail and explanation where it seems 24 civil claims cases were brought against the department, which represents a monetary amount increase from 24.5 in the previous financial year to 41.4 million in the financial year under review. Just an understanding of what those civil claims were about, what's the reason for the increase. Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much, members.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think the first one that Dr. Komu will deal with regards to that of the systemic corruption matters, and followed by the one for the SMSP days. I think that Matsumela will even deal with regards to that, where we didn't comply based on the reasons that have been provided by supervisors of those SMS members. I think if the members were not on suspension, then if you were within the department, then I think they form part of the disciplinary processes that are underway in respect of those non-submissions of the PAs. The CSP IP SAPS monthly recommendations meetings, I think, are happening at the level of attendance there. I think from IP is a director, and from CSP is also a director or a chief director, civilian oversight, as well, and because they are being chaired by CSP, as well as from SAPS is the mayor generals and the brigadiers within the negative discipline units who are attending those particular meetings on a monthly basis. And with regards to the indicator, the Honorable Mike will have taken note of that particular advice, will do that. You just have to talk to our turnaround response with regards to those particular requests, media queries, from with regards to that particular target. The Northern Cape, in respect of the the number there vis-a-vis those ones of the Free State or following the one of the Free State, taking into consideration the population of the Northern Cape. Northern Cape, one case received, one case completed in a month is 100%. And we can't even say the same with regards to Western Cape, where in that particular month they will receive 200 and something matters and complete possibly 100, then it will be 50%. So it will be as if Northern Cape perform better than the Western Cape. That's the reality. In some instances, you'll have an investigator not even running with any matter in the Northern Cape, in the particular month, and you check your Western Cape, those investigators, Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, they are over-utilized vis-a-vis those that are under-utilized. That's your Northern Cape, but we are addressing that as management because it's the problem in respect of how you have give them the resources. You scanned as and when you receive 9 investigators in the financial year, then you just wake up and say, I'll give 111 per province, but must be informed by the need. And in respect of the that other one from Honorable Bele, Mayor, yes, they will respond with regards to that for the disciplinary hearings. And the detail with regards to the civil cases, that is, you will talk to that. Thank you, sir. So that's that alone.
Thanks, sir. Listen to case of civil corruption. It's a fairly new indicator, but thus far, we've got cases in all the provinces. Particularly, we have to look at a number of them in the Nusra area where there are many undocumented immigrants that commission South Africa is not taking place. So most of these are already in court, with the postal in Porto, and a number of them in Kosinacha. That really is something certain. So I'm really happy with that. And then what we could also do is, because you realize that most of the cases are taken by BTCI, that's a mandatory process. So we already have some inside checks with colleagues in Northwest, in Northern Cape, and in Kwazulu-Natal, where we say where there are civilians, criminals, and then the police officers, different cases that can particularly deal with the police officers that are colluding with the criminals, particularly in the course of injuries, where there are really a lot of corruption, and that is almost 100% is currently taken by encountered.
I think also in the municipal police environment, it's quite critical, and I think maybe, I don't know what to name stations in Gauteng and the Western Cape and other provinces, but it's going to be, I think going forward also important for my take that maybe on a year basis concentrate on four stations, you know, whatever. Because in a lot of the, let's say, illegal conduct, criminal conduct is usually specific at the station level. If you look at those stations, the whole station, they arrest and deny at one station to do with selling of dollars. You know those kind of things. So it's got to do with the confidence of the people in the police. And I mean, sometimes you hear the rumors, there's whistleblowers, but you believe the thing, there's also a few stations that that's kept in mind. So I think that's much going forward and all the folks, but also the municipal. Municipal police services around the country. It's sometimes an open secret that won't issue a ticket. We're not talking about the municipal traffic police, but I mean communication police. I think that environment, in terms of the strategic plan, you must look at that, because that area, I think it was steps, discharged about 180 money to 66 members in the last financial year.
Thanks, Jefferson, for that. You're very good to that. Another one was on the question of Marikana education. There's a team that has been established under my leadership. We are continuously, or every week, we're meeting with the NPA prosecutor. Now, as I speak, they are traveling all over. Interviewing witnesses, somewhere they are retaking all the statements and interviewing witnesses. So it is moving, those are challenges, those that are for us are victims, and then they are also suspect in the problem. So the strategy is happy there, but we have informed the MTA, as that it is very senior prosecutors, that we need to interact with that, because when you go to them, they are saying, you want us to help you, yet your colleagues of our respect and the kids are. So it's a very challenging balance. But we are just trying our atmosphere to deal with that. And then most of the those that have been alleged to commit crimes already, we have got their warning statements that are with the NPA. So very soon, some of the cases will be taken. Very soon. We are almost there. But yet, I still have not had the kids that as well. And for the, we have got now met with the NPA and the international effect, we will be making them. So that process is ongoing. The NPA has also committed to assist us by which other institutions have come with them all. So we are literally there, but we are trying in terms of anything. Because even the things that have been removed from progress, they are not exclusive. Because the kind of funding for consumer management does not help any longer to the market. So the offer from Soria and the board to work with the other project. So it's slightly hard, but how far we go.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. With regard to the question raised by Honorable Mbebe regarding the civil claims, the details of the information is on page 217 of our annual report. The department has reported 24 cases. Out of 24 cases, 17 cases were recurring cases, and only 7 cases are new. And legal services will give the details of those cases in terms of how far they are to address them.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. Then in respect of these cases, Chairperson, and as these cases are regarded as a statement of contingent liabilities, the amounts first that is involved, Honorable Mbebe indicated from 24 million to 41. These are potential claims, and also they are not necessarily mean that all of those cases, those claims or the notices that we have received from various claimants have merits. And currently we are reviewing each and every those recurring cases and also the new cases, whether they meet the test of instituting civil actions, looking at issues of prescription, looking at issues compliance with the legal notice to institute action against the state. So we are reviewing all those cases, and the majority of those cases are claims or potential claims that have been notified by claimants who are mostly members of the South African police after a prosecution. In some instances, you may find that a member has been prosecuted, where there were merits to prosecute, but because of one or other reason, he's acquitted in court, and then they institute civil claims against the state or the minister in particular and IPRIT. And these are the cases that we need to record them and record those, the potential capital claims, and need to be defended. So, and some of them are just notices. Some of the lawyers will send us notices and they don't act upon that. And so one has to first wait for the period, the legal notice period to exceed, and also the prescription period, and also engaging the state attorney to review all those cases where there has not been legal notice or no action has been instituted. And then as the time goes on, they'll be removed from the list of contingent liability, because in any event, even if they may take action at a later stage, there will be technical problems that they'll have to cross, as if we have experienced some of those, and then we kick, and then there's no necessarily a claim that will arise against the state. So those cases are potential claims, are not necessarily claims that have been instituted. Others are notices, others their summons, and which we are defending where it's warranted.
Thank you much, Rudy Chair, and honourable members. With regard to slide 39, the monthly recommendation meetings are taking place, and we are happy to report that we do not have any problems anymore with regard to the level of staff members who are attending. We are having regular meetings, and we are having on national level, we are having a Rudy Chair level to attend. The same is happening on the provincial level. We have not received any complaints anymore with regard to the level of substances attending. It seems everybody is taking it very seriously. We did revisit our terms of reference. Recently, the Metro Police indicated that they will sign separately the terms of reference, but SAPS indicated that they are ready to sign. So our department and the subject of the area is ready to sign. So that document indicates the level and the agendas and everything. So I think we are all in agreement that is concerned. With regard to the last question and the necessary steps taken, I do have a little bit more detailed information available with me. With regard to the noticeable steps taken against Northwest, I would say is the highest of the 109, 40 for Northwest. Followed then by Gauteng with 16, Western Cape with 17, and then Gauteng with 16, and then Eastern Cape with 14, and so forth. But there are cases registered for each and every province. So it's not just prevalent to specific provinces, it is in all provinces, but mostly prevalent in Northwest. And with regard to what were these cases all about? 86 of these 109 cases were about assault cases. 7 were with regard to the discharge of an official firearm. 1, corruption. 5, death in police custody. 5 with regard to police action. 1, death in police custody. 1, non-compliance with the Act. 7 were with regard to other criminal offences. And 1 was with regard to rape by a police officer on and off duty. So mostly you can say 86 of these cases that they decided not to take the three steps with regard to the assault cases. And I think mostly what was already explained was that these could be the cases typically, during arrest, what do you consider relevant force during the arrest? So that could be the reasons. But mostly, like I said, prevalent in Northwest. That is the details that we have available. No, it's not in the annual report. It's just final details. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honourable Members. There was a question related to performance agreements, and to say that of the two people that did not complete that report, these directions were taken against the members as such, because non-completion of the performance agreements literally described in terms of the policies for SMS members in the performance management system. So as a result, non-compliance is just viewed for the first lead to the PSA, and the reasons why it is not taking action if it is not taking particular action. But we are forced to take action after that. So we have taken action after our case of members. And there was also a question relating to trauma for investigations. I may not have got a question right, but we are in the process of appointing a service provider to be able to address the issue of debriefing of investigators, because most often than not, they are actually faced with situations where they are dealing with debriefing. So we are in the process of analyzing the appointment of the service provider in terms of addressing this particular issue. So currently, we do have an internal processing site where we are able to offer the service itself. But we also want to also make sure that where people don't want to have an independent sort of advice, and to have people who are able to give them counseling, especially where people are attending a lot of post-mortems and so forth. That's if we might not have internet. So hence we have the press of our
maybe that one should raise, maybe to
one issue is that there's an impact of fighters on the community, especially the more serious issues, the life issues. As you said, of course, there's now a decrease because of the station visits, lectures, you know, in terms of general conduct. But my question is long-term ones. I can also ask the Secretary this morning. I mean, in the end, there should be a decrease in claims against SAPs. The members, the quality of members, their treatment must be better, but their conduct must be honest. IPED must also be assurance provider. I just want to get a sense, going forward, are you going to also look in terms of your discussions at the consultative board about, safe SAPs? Well, you've seen an increase here, but for instance, the right in sales by police officers is still a problem. How do we deal with that in terms of recommendations, that we have to impact there? Otherwise, it's going to continue. I just want to get a sense of that.
Yes, Sir President, and definitely we'll take this to our next consultative forum as agenda item between ourselves and the CSP, and we'll discuss the matter there. And I think from what you are saying, the proposals and the suggestions, we have taken note of that going forward.
But colleagues, other questions, concerns?
That's it. It's not a question, it's just a concern that I want to flag. There's no culpability on the part of the IPED for this, but it's just in looking at pages 86 and 88 of the IPED report, the annual report, there's definitely an issue around the downstream stakeholders, to put them that way, of the IPED's work, where there's a lot of issues where, 687 out of 1297 of the cases that went for disciplinary still awaiting response, when if you consider that there's at least a quarterly reporting milestone for the SAPs, that means there's bottlenecks and there's cases being clogged up that aren't giving the feedback back to the IPED if half the cases are still awaiting response. I would think that proportion would be smaller. And then on page 86, with the criminal recommendations to the NPA, outside of the 751 out of 957, that's a good three quarters of all the cases are still awaiting response, and we know the issues of the NPA and delays there. But discounting that, more cases where there is a decision are declined than then prosecuted. And so just my main concern is the weakening effect that this has on accountability, which IPED is doing their part to enforce, but then downstream it's falling apart, and I think that's just something that the community must note, and at some point find a way to address, maybe some sort of joint committee meeting with the relevant portfolio committees, but it speaks to that whole transversal operation issue in government to make sure things don't fall through cracks. Thank you.
There's all issues while you mentioned that issue. MP literally the reports. I think in terms of editing and some of the town's names, I think you will just get look at it. I'm not going to cite examples of the I think you must just again look at some of the technical issues. Then I just want to know about the complaints mechanism regarding IPED contact. The name of Ms. Marida Haas, KZN, comes into my email sphere. If there's a complaint about service delivery in a province by the public, actually, how do you deal with it? What is the turnaround time? So this one gets sense. And then, fees must fall too. From the committee side, I think we're quite happy with the staff's reaction so far, but we don't know where meetings will go in the next 2 to 3 weeks or in the next year. I just want to know from complaints from the public or students, what is the situation, and are you also acting proactive? Say, for instance, there is major problems in Victoria, where KCT University, do you deploy, for instance, as a standby or as observers, members from IPIT to be around? The lessons from Marikana, I just want to get a sense, because, you know, I just want to know in terms of operating procedures, are you proactive? Is that the questions and concerns and notes? Thank you very much. I can hear you over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. In respect of the complaints that are reported to IPIT, we are expected to receive, register, and allocate those particular complaints within 72 hours. And in respect of service delivery complaints that are made against IPIT investigators, the majority of those particular complaints, they will be forwarded or they are sent to the ED's office. We are receiving lots of those particular matters on a daily basis. But what we are doing, we have one person dealing with those particular matters in the ED's office, referring them to the provincial head, the relevant provincial head, and giving them deadlines with regards to the brought forward to investigate those particular matters within a month and give us the final report. Then we'll send an acknowledgement letter to the complainant and keep the complainant updated with regards to the progress of the particular matters up until the matter has been finalized. Then we'll indicate to the complainant what has been done with regards to that particular matter. In some instances, we'll even take departmental steps against IPIT officials who fails to render the satisfactory service to their complainants. In respect of the fees must fall, proactively, Chairperson, to be honest with the Chairperson and the honorable members, we are not doing that, though we are even considering doing that. Because previously we were informed that, legally speaking, and we are not even supposed to be there, but I think just to be on the safe side to monitor the situation, we will take that into consideration, Chairperson. But what we are doing, we request the update reports from the provinces on a weekly basis. They have been sent to who's the acting program to manager of investigations, then we'll consolidate the report and we'll monitor the report, because they will send the report, they will send giving the progress, and they will add all the new matters that are reported against the police, even those ones that have been reported to the media, specifically with regards to certain institutions. We'll have the press clippings or the newspaper clippings, then we'll shoot into those particular matters and send to the provincial aid. If this particular matter was not reported, can you just go to the institution and make sure that we have those particular allegations from the complainant and register the matter and investigate the matter. Like just for an example, the allegations with regards to the rape for the UKZN case, that one we are also investigating, and only to find out it was natural, not a rape, but a sexual assault matter. But that particular matter, even that one, is still under investigation. So all those particular matters, we are making follow up on those ones that are on our public platforms, all of them, and possibly even in the near future provides the portfolio committee with the report with regards to those parameters. I spoke to it
in our last JCPS cluster meeting, as and when we're dealing with the very same matter, that as the IP, we do have the reports, and we can even provide the JCPS with the outcome of those particular cases, or even progress of all those particular cases that were opened with the IPs in all the provinces. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Captain. Yes, thus far, we have completed 40 cases in process of the respective prisoners for them. The 9 of those are where they will be in the Kaduna Chan. So, other is 2211 here.
The report is important. I think, you know, the situation's changed. And I think the risk for us in the country is that things can be slow. And our view is good, it must prevail, so it's important that we continue to monitor the situation, investigate these complaints, and these issues, it must be investigated and dealt with. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your participation this afternoon. We will reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Same venue, 9 o'clock, to sit up for focusing on the annual report. We want to thank the acting ED and his team. Sorry, yes, sir.
Chairperson, I just want to, lastly, to convey my appreciation to the committee and to yourself for the support and the guidance that you have given to us as the department throughout the four quarters presentations, including the annual reports. You really held us to account, and we responded to the task during the difficult times that we were operating on as the IPs, and take into consideration that this was a learning curve for me, for the first time that I was thrown in the deep end to act as the accounting officer for the department. So I really want to thank the portfolio committee, for the police, as well as the chairperson, in the sense that will keep on as the department making sure that we'll maintain the clean audit and even the above average performance for the department despite difficult situations and the budget cuts that we are experiencing as the department. Thanks very much.
Double assurance on our side. So thank you very much for coming. The meeting is closed.